All right, John chapter 7. John chapter 7 this evening. And verse number 37. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Before you leave, make sure you go by their table, get a prayer card and a magnet. Put those on your refrigerator and remember to pray for them on a daily basis. Let's stand together. John chapter 7 and verse number 37. The Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. By this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." In verse 37, the Lord gave an invitation to the lost to come and drink freely of the water of life. He used the same terminology in his conversation with the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4 when he said that whosoever drinketh of this water, speaking of the water out of the well of Sychar, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but that water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In Revelation 21, Jesus said, "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And in the Bible's last invitation, Revelation 22:17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So what does a lost person need? They need not water from a well. They need the water of life, the water that comes from Jesus Christ. Once that water of life is in us, once we're saved, it becomes a well of water springing up within our soul. And Jesus said, "He that believeth on me," and now if you're saved, you believed on Christ, "he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, verse number 39 is then interpreted for us. We're not left to doubt or to wonder what he meant, because it says, but this spake he of the Spirit. Now at that point, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to the disciples. The Holy Spirit did not indwell believers until after the resurrection of Jesus. And when Jesus assembled his disciples and breathed upon them, they received the Holy Ghost. When Benny Hinn does that, it's blasphemy. Only Jesus had the authority to give the Holy Ghost. He only did it that one time. Now, any time a person believes on Christ, they are immediately indwelt by the Spirit of God, and He lives within us. And so that springing river of living water that should flow out of the life of the Christian is represents the work of the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Now, in Israel, my wife and I had the privilege of visiting there once, and then I visited there a second time. We visited the Benias Springs. Now, these are up near Caesarea Philippi. They're in the at the base of Mount Hermon, the tallest mountain in Israel, the only one that has snow on the top, and up in the Golan Heights. And there is there by Caesarea Philippi. You might remember that Caesarea Philippi is where Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter made his confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He probably made that at a certain spot where there was a cave out of which flowed the Benias Spring. Now, back in ancient times, it would burst forth and flow with great force out of this cave, and it would form a stream. Now, today, it kind of trickles out. It doesn't flow very strong. But you can still see where it comes down, forms a stream that flows downhill and eventually becomes the Jordan River. It may be that Jesus and his disciples had that gushing spring in mind when Jesus was telling them that it will spring up into you as a stream or as living water, a river of living water. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit is not just in us, for us. Well, the charismatics and Pentecostals, their emphasis on the Holy Spirit is me feeling something, him doing something in me today. And so often we neglect the fact that the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to work in us for us, but wants to work in us so he can work through us to help others. In Romans 5:5, it says that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad Anyone ever heard the term watershed? Watershed is not usually where you want to live in times of flood. That means where all the water would flow into that area. Now, normally that's where the river flows, but in times of flood, it would flow down from the mountains, flow down from the high places, and flood that area. And the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad. It ought to flow out of us. It ought to be like a watershed as the Holy Spirit of God, His love, flows through us to others. We need to be filled to overflowing. To be filled with the Spirit so that we're overflowing as rivers of living water. Now, a river is just a channel that carries water from one place to another. It's basically a ditch. You know, we have a little branch of the Trinity River starts at Lake Levan's Dam and goes and winds, goes under Highway 78, winds back, and there's alligators down in there, and winds down and ends up in Lake Ray Hubbard. And we've taken our kids down in there hiking and stuff. And, you know, during the times of drought, you can see how it has really shrunk down. You see the ditch and the water just trickling along in the bottom. But then all of a sudden, that was years ago when we had anything like a flood, but there was a time when they had to release water out of the dam and it filled to overflowing and it was gushing down through there and underneath the bridge and people were down there fishing and some were even killed trying to boat down through there. But a river is just a ditch. It is a low place that carries water. And God, it's a channel. And God desires us to be channels of blessing, to carry forth the water of life to those who need to be saved. You know, there's several hymns that capture this thought. One says, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from known sin. We will be barriers and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today. Oh, we need to get over this selfish reservoir type Christianity, and we want God to pour all of His blessings down into us so we can hoard them and enjoy them instead of being channels through which God's blessings flow through us into the lives of others. Tonight I want to speak to you about being a river. All right, if you're kids waiting for the title, Rivers of Blessings. I want to speak to you about being a river tonight. All right, number one, rivers meet the needs of people. Rivers meet the needs of people. If you study human history, you'll find that the earliest civilizations gathered around what? Rivers. Chinese civilization around the Yellow River, the Nile River, Mississippi River. You know, when we went on our last vacation, we stopped in Memphis both times. And, of course, Memphis sits right on the banks of the Mississippi. And on the way back, we went to a little museum on an island called Mud Island. And they have there a representation of the Mississippi River from its headwaters all the way to where it empties in the Gulf of Mexico. And it was, if I remember correctly, it was 1 foot per mile. So they shrunk it down and it was carved into the ground and had water running through it. So you followed along and they had little cities, laid out there in the concrete and you followed the river along 1 foot per mile. It was a half mile all the way down in miniaturized form. And then it emptied into this pool that represented the Gulf of Mexico. And how much of human history is centered around a river because it provides a constant supply of water. You know, people, as much as people need water, they need the water of life. They need salvation. They need the Word of God. And too many Christians are not like rivers that flow constantly. Some of us are more like geysers that go off periodically. Every once in a while, our whole Christian life blows up on Sunday and then doesn't do anything the rest of the week. On Sunday, and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that's all we are. We're not even Old Faithful. At least it goes off every hour or so. We just go off once a week. Other Christians are like dry riverbeds. You know, they're sometimes when there's a flood, the water flows, but most of the time there's nothing there. God wants us to be constantly flowing rivers that are dependable, faithful, constant. You know, that I emphasized that this morning in my Sunday school class and the morning service, how important it is for us to live scheduled Christian lives. You have to put your priorities on the schedule. If you want to live for Jesus Christ, you must stop putting spiritual things in pencil where it can be easily rubbed out. We don't rub out work, we don't rub out school, we don't rub out practice, we don't rub out activities, we don't rub out homeschool get-togethers, we don't rub out all kinds of things. But somehow we think we can rub out Bible reading, we can rub out prayer, we can rub out church services, we can rub out visitation, we can rub out all kinds of things. We need to be a constant, consistent, flowing river, and not just every once in a while some water comes out, and the rest of the time there's nothing there. Number two, rivers draw their water from a source. The Jordan River, for example, comes mostly from melting ice on Mount Hermon. But all rivers draw from a spring, a glacier. Ice melt off or runoff from the mountains or hills around them or north of them. And it flows together and forms a river. And you've got to have a source of God's blessings in your life. You've got to have some mountaintop time with God. You've got to have the dew of the Word of God settling on your life. If your life is spiritually dry, you're not going to have anything to give to others. You've got to spend time in prayer. You've got to spend time in the Bible. Where do preachers get sermons every week? Download them off the internet. No, at least I know that I get mine out of the Bible. Where do I get my sermons from? Reading the Bible, studying the Bible. You're not going to have anything to give to others if you're never drawing anything for yourself. So you've got to have a source, and that source must be the Spirit of God. Number three, river channels run through valleys. They run through valleys and low places. Now, I may be wrong. There may be some oddity somewhere in the world, but I've never seen a river flowing across mountain ridges. I've never seen a river flowing on top. And we went to Pikes Peak, didn't see any rivers up on top. Rivers flow through low places. And many Christians, they want their spiritual life to be up on a mountaintop all the time. But that's not where God uses us. Remember when Jesus took the inner three disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration? They saw Him transfigured and they saw Him in His millennial glory. And Peter said, "Let's start a camp meeting. We'll build some tabernacles. Just stay here. This is awesome." And Jesus said no. And they went down off the mountain, and there's that crowd of people. They all needed help. They weren't getting help while they're up on the mountaintop, but they were down in the valley. That's where people are that need our help. And you know, Christians, we have to understand that God uses the valleys of our lives. The low places of our lives are important for our growth, but also so that God can use us to help others. Experiences make us more useful. Even those that are hard and hurtful. When God gives us victory through battles, we can help others with their battles. We don't always like the process, but the valleys and the low places of life are often where God gives us something that we can use to help someone else on down the road. You know, and some rivers flow underground. They're gushing away and rushing through hidden caverns. Somewhere along the line, they're going to come out somewhere, or the water will come up through the ground and sub-irrigate the fields, and people may not even realize that there's a river rushing underneath the surface. And sometimes Christians are called to serve in obscurity, in the background, unseen. The things we go through, others may not understand what we're going through, may not even see what we go through. And yet God has a purpose for that as we serve Him sometimes in the darkness. Serve Him in the shadows. All right, number four, rivers are constantly giving themselves away. Rivers are constantly giving themselves away. That's the difference between a river and a lake. You can go out to the Trinity River and it flows very slowly. But it flows. It's going somewhere. You know, if you look at the geography of the land of Israel, you can see up in the north you have the Sea of Galilee. You have the Jordan River that then comes down from it all the way down. It's all downhill to the Dead Sea, the lowest spot on earth. Jordan means descending. It just constantly goes down. At the end, it's rushing along pretty good. Then it empties into the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is always taking water in from the northern part of the country, and it's fresh water. It used to be full of fish, little tilapia fish. Now it's not so many now. And it's always collecting fresh water. It's a beautiful spot. It doesn't look like an ocean. It looks like Lake Levan used to look like. It's a big lake. And then it gives out water, and so it doesn't stagnate. It's constantly coming in, constantly going out. The Dead Sea is constantly taking in, and nothing ever leaves it, except through evaporation. And it's dead, salty. It is so salty you can float in it. I was the only one in our group that went in and floated in it. I'm still proud of that. It was cold, too. And you walk in, it's the weirdest feeling because it's so buoyant that you walk in and it just kicks your feet up under you. But nothing lives in it. It's dead. It's sterile. There's no plants growing from it. And that's how many Christians are. They want to come to church and they want to take, and they never do anything to give to anybody else. And they sit there in their pew and they're unhappy and they're complaining and they're griping about everything because they never, ever serve anybody else. Rivers have to flow. You've got to take the blessings in. You've got to give them out. Take them in, give them out. Take them in, give them out. Or you'll be stagnant and spiritually dead and fruitless. So you've got to be like a river and not like the Dead Sea. Jesus said that whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Well, let me point out another thought, and that is that rivers need to be free from obstruction. Rivers need to be free from obstruction. How many of you ever heard of the Great Raft? Anyone? All right. The Great Raft was on the Red River back in the early 1800s. It had accumulated over centuries of logs. It was a giant log jam, 165 miles long. Went all the way up through Louisiana to the border of Arkansas. And it was finally dismantled by a man named Captain Shreve. The people of the area were so grateful they named Shreveport after Captain Shreve. And once it was opened, they had for a long time a navigable river to carry supplies up and down the river. But before that, can you imagine a 160-mile log jam? Now, a lot of Christians are the same way. They have accumulated the world, and there's so much bitterness, and there's so much wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and strife and the works of the flesh in their life that God cannot work through them like He wants to. It obstructs everything that God wants to do. Hindrances, accumulated silt and debris. And, you know, sometimes we need to be dredged. Because we have accumulated so much garbage in our lives that God cannot flow through us like He wants to. Well, let me give you another thought, that rivers need to be kept free from pollutants. You know, the Thames flows through London, but I don't think anyone ever wants to go down there and take a drink. What's the river in New York City? The Hudson. I don't think you want to go bathing in it either. You know, we've got to watch out for toxic waste, the world dumping itself into our lives and making us spiritually toxic. Hebrews 12 tells us to be careful lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. So if I let bitterness into my life, instead of being a source of fresh water and blessing to others, I might just be spreading bitterness and meanness and unkindness and unforgiveness. And that is not what God wants flowing through our lives. Well, one last thought. I heard you say amen in your mind. Number 7, your life will benefit as well. You know, Psalm 1 verse 3 says, He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, as your life is flowing with God's blessings, and the Holy Spirit is working through your life and helping others, you're not going to lose out on that. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know who's going to benefit the most? You are. as you give your life away, as you give your life to serve God, and as you are a blessing to others, you are the one who will benefit the most in the long run. Cast thy bread upon the water. Oh, I need my bread. No, cast your bread on the waters. Why? You'll find it again after many days. Jesus said again, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I love the song. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today.